This is Radio Superior 1943, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1943. This is a true story of our past, so step back with us to another time and hear this recreation of radio as it may have sounded in 1943. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is radio station KUWS, broadcasting from studios in Superior, Wisconsin. It's 6 o'clock, standard wartime, Tuesday, May 11th, 1943. The Martin and McKenna Show is on the air, and this is Jack McKenna reminding you that your job well done may save a son. Lou Martin is standing by now with the latest shortwave radio war reports from around the globe. The news is sponsored by Superior Water, Light, and Power Company. Ready Kilowatt is urging you to speed victory and buy war bonds. Now, Lou Martin, good evening to you, sir.
Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. Wholesale surrender of broken Axis African armies appears imminent. After 3 years of war in North Africa, an Allied victory seems inevitable. With the first of four reports from Tunisia, Cap Bon, London, and Moscow, we have United Press foreign correspondent Wes Gallagher at Allied headquarters. Come in, Tunis.
Liberated Tunis, Tunisia here. Wes Gallagher reporting. Armored columns of the British First Army are moving rapidly along coastal roads of the Cap Bon Peninsula. It's from there that they report Germans setting fire to their own weapons and materials, a sign that they are preparing for wholesale surrender. Organized resistance by Axis forces appears to have come to an end. A swift action by British forces has cut off German troops at the Cap Bon Peninsula. A spokesman at Allied headquarters, North Africa, says there is still fierce fighting, but also mass surrender. 100,000 German troops have been captured so far. Among those is the Hermann Göring Division. Still, 50 to 100,000 members of the Afrika Korps remain in the mountains east of Zahone, still capable of putting up a fight. German forces have been unable to escape across the Mediterranean Sea because Allied Air Force has destroyed all evacuation ships heading to the Cap Bon Peninsula. This is Wes Gallagher calling Drumbalia on the Cap Bon Peninsula. Come in, Daniel DeLuce with the British 8th Army.
This is Daniel DeLuce with the fighting British 1st Army in newly liberated Drumbalia. The face of battle is worn on both victor and vanquished here on the Cap Bon Peninsula. Adolf Hitler's vaunted shock troops have been turned into a desperate rabble, some running into the hill country, others surrendering by the thousands. The collapse of the once proud German division rivals that of their scorned Italian Confederates. All morning I have raced forward in armored scout jeeps and seen the amazing spectacle of the German army humbled in the dust of a panicky retreat. A fate worse than Dunkirk has overwhelmed Hitler's Afrika Korps. I have just entered Drumbalia, and across the road sits a vehicle on fire containing four dead German officers. Already, German soldiers have asked me to accept their surrender. One grimy-faced blonde sergeant told me, "We are kaput. We have no food, no munitions, no benzene." One British general says most Germans are giving up, but he says a few tough chaps continue to fight. He tells the story of a British soldier who was captured and disarmed last night, only to be given his rifle back this morning and have the 200 Germans surrender to him. I witnessed a British lieutenant colonel accepting the surrender of a German major and her surviving men, numbering about 200. The colonel asked politely if the major would like to ride instead of walk to the rear. He replied in good English, "Thank you, but I prefer to march with my men." This is Daniel DeLuce on the front lines in Drumbalia on the Cap Bon Peninsula in Tunisia. Calling London, come in, Virgil Pinkley.
Britain calling, Virgil Pinkley here. Londoners are rejoicing at the news of what sounds like the Nazis' first taste of defeat at the hands of British and Yank forces in North Africa. Adolf Hitler had the double task of explaining this loss to his own people and preparing the European fortress for the eventual Allied attack. Moscow radio has picked up the dispatches from Switzerland and that Hitler has ordered his two most trusted lieutenants, Reich Marshal Hermann Göring and Nazi secret police director Heinrich Himmler, to reorganize the Italian army. Meanwhile, a Berlin dispatch to a Swiss newspaper describes German citizens as walking around as though hit on the head by news of the Allied triumph in North Africa. To understand the astonishment of the German people, it must be said that through the long retreat from Casablanca across North Africa, they were told that the withdrawal was purely voluntary. The Berne der Bonde newspaper said that American fighting ability, which had not been held highly by Berlin, came as a shock to Axis leaders. The news has lifted the morale of the resistance in Europe. Nazi retaliation is swift and brutal. 26 Dutch patriots have been executed after calling for strikes and sabotage. This resistance is just the tip of an angry iceberg ready to strike at Nazi occupiers everywhere. This is Virgil Pinkley, United Press London, calling Soviet Russia. Do you read me, Eddie Gilmore, in Moscow?
This is Allied headquarters in Moscow. Eddie Gilmore reporting. The drive to liberate Kharkov and Smolensk is a slow, bloody one. In the most terrible fighting since the days of Stalingrad, Russian forces move forward yard by yard to Novorossiysk. Axis resistance remains stiff, and the Red Army attempts at cutting supply lines to Nazi forces have not been successful. Fresh troops and ammunition continue to reach front lines and fuel counterattacks. Even though progress is slow and at great cost to both sides, this is a relative victory for the Red Army. 2 years ago, German forces overwhelmed Soviet forces in its initial attack in June of 1941. And last year, a counterattack forced Russian troops once again to the brink of destruction, eliminating winter advances and pushing them back to Moscow and Stalingrad. This time, they are not retreating, in spite of what may be the best the German invaders can muster. In Moscow, this is United Press foreign correspondent Eddie Gilmore reporting.
The price of victory has been high for British forces. British Prime Minister Clement Attlee told members of the House of Commons that British casualties numbered 10,800 in the last 3 weeks of the Tunisian campaign. There are reports out of Poland that the first major urban uprising is underway in Warsaw. Apparently, the struggle began last month, and the Nazi occupiers have not been able to put down the revolt even after almost 1 month. This is longer than it took Germany to defeat all of Poland in 1939. This information is being released by the British ambassador to the United States, Lord Halifax. Lord Halifax is charging the Nazis with the brutal occupation of a systemic starvation of 1.5 million Jews in an enclosed ghetto within Warsaw. He says many of these Jews have lost their lives in the uprising. A Tokyo broadcast reports the Japanese forces are within 12 miles of the Indian border in Burma, in the gravest threat of a Nipponese invasion of India and its 400 million people. Jap attacks have pushed back British Field Marshal Archibald Wavell's troops, but British command will not say how far. Reports monitored from Radio Tokyo calls this the most important time to determine the outcome of the war against the United States and Britain. Lieutenant General Yoshida told Japanese citizens that his Air Force will begin bombing the U.S. mainland soon to bring America to its knees. Yoshida calls this the final stage of the war to smash the American industrial machine, which he says has been struggling desperately to overcome successive defeats since Pearl Harbor. And that's the war situation up to the moment. Superior Water, Light, and Power Company news time is 6:07. Now Jack McKenna has a word from our sponsor.
Thank you, Lewis. Well, five more ships have hit the waves, and they'll do us proud, folks. Superior is proud of this record-breaking launching event and of the shipyards, which are doing such a splendid job of turning out ships for victory. Electricity played a vital role in supplying all of the power for the construction of these ships. The Superior Water, Light, and Power Company is proud to serve the shipyards of this area. And Ready Kilowatt is going to stay right on the job, helping Uncle Sam build the ships he needs to win the war. Electricity builds ships. From Superior Water, Light, and Power Company in Superior. Speed victory by war bonds and stamps.
A volunteer port security force is being formed for the Twin Ports. Wisconsin National Guard Captain William Forsyth will head the unit with offices at the Superior Water, Light, and Power Company offices in Superior and the Christie Building in Duluth. Captain Forsyth says the Waterfront Security Force will free up the local U.S. Coast Guard for combat duty overseas or along the U.S. coastlines. Captain of the Port Lawton Ford says that training will begin immediately. Two state assembly districts in Superior have been redrawn, and Governor Walter Goodland has signed the legislation. Sponsored by Superior Assemblyman Len Root, Republican Party, and Foley of the Progressive Party, the 1st and 2nd Assembly Districts are now evenly split in Superior. The Bayfield County Board reelected its chairman at its spring reorganization meeting in Washburn today. Mr. S.E. Squires of the town of Kelly is also the area's state assemblyman. The Bayfield County Vice Chairman is I.L. Alcott, and the official newspaper is the Washburn Times. The total count of deer carcasses found in the North Woods, many around the Flag River in Port Wing, is 1,120. A citizens' committee headed by University of Wisconsin professor Aldo Leopold will decide what to do about the overpopulation of the deer herd. Harsh winters with heavy snow, like the winters of 42 and 43, have taken a severe toll. Superior Police Chief Arthur Buchanan has high praise for his officers, as well as air raid wardens, railroad agents, and the State Highway Patrol for their protection of the Dionne quintuplets this past weekend. Chief Buchanan says this massive effort went off without any problems. And finally, Jack, we have this story from Daryl Knudsen of the Superior Evening Telegram staff. He says there were a couple of area musicians in the 40-piece Great Lakes Naval Band that played for the Quints. Max Mattinson of Duluth played first trombone. Another band member, Frank Laurie, is from Hibbing. He says it was a thrill to see the five ships slide sideways into the water, and rather funny to see that one guy get buried in that wave of water.
Well, I guess it's safe to say it now, Lou. I thought that was the best part of the launching, when Colonel Raffaele got drenched.
I thought that he took it rather well.
As exciting as this whole thing was, and as cute as the Dayons are, I don't care if I don't hear about the Quints for a while. You didn't see me go gaga over the girls.
You were too busy knocking us off the air.
Hey, you trip over a cable and the engineer goes bananas. He's so excitable.
Hard to imagine.
That's Lou Martin with the news, ladies and gentlemen. The best darn newsman on the block. He's a blockhead. Hey, folks, it's going to get chillier tonight. The forecast for this Tuesday, May the 11th, 1943, from the United States Weather Bureau calls for a low tonight of 30 degrees. After today's high of 52, it'll warm up, friends. Summer's on the way. Let's go right to the good big band music of our time, folks. Here's Benny Goodman and his orchestra with the singing of newcomer Peggy Lee. I think you're going to like her. This is Somebody Is Taking My Place on the Martin and McKenna Show on Station KUWS. The good time music of Benny Goodman and his orchestra, with vocals by Miss Peggy Lee and Somebody's Taking My Place on station KUWS. Hey friends, there's plenty of reasons to keep your radio dial tuned right here tonight. Besides Lou's magnanimous personality, of course, I don't know what that means. At 7 o'clock, it's the American Melody Hour, followed by Famous Jury Trials, Fibber McGee and Molly at 8:30, Bob Hope at 9, and Red Skelton at 9:30. What a lineup. Lots of fun Tuesday night on the radio.
I have a little something here, too, Jack.
As long as it doesn't mention you-know-who.
Pretty tired of the Dion quintuplets, eh?
You mentioned the who-knows-who.
Sorry. The May quota of drafted men from Douglas County left Superior for Milwaukee today for physical exams and induction. Of course, we can't tell you how many men left, but it was above quota. This is the largest batch of married men since married men with children began being drafted this year. 75% of the men off to Milwaukee leave behind a wife.
I appreciate you not mentioning you-know-who.
Doing who-knows-what.
To who-knows-who.
And that would be enough about that, Jack.
But never enough good music, listeners. Here's As Time Goes By with Dooley Wilson, the famous Dooley from the movie Casablanca, on the Martin and McKenna Show on station KUWS.
You must remember this. A kiss is still a kiss. A sigh is just a sigh. The fundamental things apply as time goes by. And when two lovers woo, they still say I love you. On that you can rely. No matter what the future brings, as time goes by. Moonlight and love songs are never out of date. Hearts full of passion, jealousy, and hate. Woman needs man, and man must have his mate that no one can deny. It's still the same old story, a fight for love and glory, a case of do or die. The world will always welcome lovers as time goes by. Moonlight and love songs are never out of date. Hearts full of passion, jealousy, and hate. Woman needs man, and man must have its mate that no one can deny. It's still the same old story, a fight for love and glory, a case of do or die. The world will always welcome lovers as time goes by.
The mellow sounds for your enjoyment, friends. That's Dooley Wilson and As Time Goes By on station KUWS. Hiya, Lou.
Let me bring in our fabulous society editor, Harriet Farig.
Well, let's hope Miss Fab doesn't mention the you-know-plets.
Jack's a little deoned out.
They were so gracious to come up and speak to you, too. But I promise, Jack, no you-know-whos. There's so much happening, Jack and Lewis. Soloists have been chosen for the Central High School commencement. Gloria Salo, Lois Culhane, and Warren Randy have been chosen by Miss Minnie Rasmussen and Miss Agnes Curie. The theme will be America Forever. Central High School sophomore Keith Jensen won first place in the Women's Auxiliary of the Veterans of Foreign Wars essay contest. The topic is United We Win. Keith Jensen will get $5 for his essay and go on to compete in the state competition. Miss Patricia Ann Holden of Cathedral won second place, and Charles Hedberg of Central won third place. We're so proud of the Central High School student newspaper. Editor Irene Murphy found out that the paper, The Devil's Pie, won All-American status from the University of Minnesota School of Journalism. And big news, boys, I've been accepted into the welders program at vocational school. You know, they've graduated 600 welders since the federal program started there last year.
Oh, that's great. Congratulations, Harriet.
You'll still be able to work here, won't you?
Of course. The welders class is in the morning. Did you know that 60% of all the welders in the Duluth and Superior shipyards were trained at the Superior Vocational School?
60%, you say? Fascinating. Simply fascinating.
And that's not all, Jack. 95% of all graduates have gotten a job.
Lou, can always hope you're in the other 5%.
That's not true, Harriet. I know that you'll do well. As we all learned over the weekend with the Dionne Quintuplets, shipyard workers are very important to the war effort.
He speaks rather loudly, doesn't he? I thought we weren't going to talk about them.
Well, nay, if you don't give me the raspberries about Harriet going off to school.
Deal. So then let's enjoy Dick Hames and Helen Forrest, and It Had to Be You, on the Martin McKenna Show on Station KUWS.
It had to be you. It had to be you. I wandered around and finally found the somebody who could make me be true, could make me be blue, and even be glad just to be sad thinking of you. Some others I've seen might never be mean, might never be cross, but try to be boss, but they wouldn't do. For nobody else gave me a thrill. With all your faults, I love you still. It had to be you, wonderful you. It had to be you.
It had to be you. It had to be you. I wandered around and finally found somebody who could make me be true, could make me be blue, and even be glad just be sad thinking of you. Some others I've seen might never be me, might never be cross or try to be boss, but they wouldn't do.
For nobody else gave me a thrill. With all your faults, I love you still.
it had to be you, wonderful you.
It had to be.
The big band sounds of Dick Hames. Oh, what a voice. And Helen Forrest, too. And their big hit from 1942, It Had to Be You, on station KUWS. Okie dokie, Lou and Harriet, I know you have some important people to mention.
Lost in all of the Quince hoopla was a solemn program at the Henry S. Blomberg VFW Post. Every Mother's Day, they honor the mothers who have given the most difficult of all sacrifices, that of their sons killed in the service of our country.
All of the Gold Star mothers turned out for the program last night, and I don't think I've ever been to a more dignified gathering. I couldn't help but think of their great loss and pain, Louis.
HASPO's President Frank Thompson presented each with a Gold Star and a white rose.
Mrs. A.D. Rookie, Mrs. Norman Carlson, Mrs. Ray Kremple, Mrs. Oscar Krogstad, Mrs. P.E. Warren, Mrs. Vincent Lazinski, Mrs. Patrick McHugh, Mrs. Fred McGrath, Mrs. Leonard Engstrom, and Mrs. John Lemieux have lost sons since the beginning of this war, Jack.
We do hope next Mother's Day will reunite our nation's sons with their mothers everywhere. Let's listen now to the soothing sound of Britain's Verlin, and we'll meet again on station KUWS.
Let's say goodbye with a smile, dear, just for a while, dear. We must part. Don't let this parting upset you. Not forget you, sweetheart. We'll meet again. Don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day. Keep smiling through, just like you always do, till the blue skies chase those dark clouds far away. And I will just say hello to the folks that you know, tell them you won't be long. They'll be happy to know that as I saw you go, you were singing this song. We'll meet again. Don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day. Them you won't be long. They'll be happy to know that as I saw you go, you were singing this song. We'll meet again. Don't know where, don't know when, but I know sunny day.
For the Gold Star Mothers of Douglas County, that was Vera Lynn, and we'll meet again on Station KUWS.
Nice choice of music, old buddy. I know that you don't want to hear about it, but the newsreels will have films about the Dion Quintuplets' visit to Superior in theaters all over the country later this week. And they'll have four times the usual length of footage. I hope they didn't get our platform collapsing.
I do hope they got Colonel Raffaele getting nailed by that wave during the launch.
There's a good chance that they did.
You know, you two, there's a Roy Rogers flick playing at the Superior Theater tonight.
So I get to go along just like one of the boys?
You're never one of the boys to me, Harriet.
Oh, for crying out loud, Lois. Let her be one of the boys. It's just 20 cents. King of the Cowboys Roy Rogers stars in Heart of the Golden West.
Maybe they'll have one of those newsreels of you-know-who.
And we could get some licorice.
Oh, boy, another happy ending, licorice and all. We'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial, folks. The good Lord willing, and, well, if he's willing, we'll be here. For Lou and Harriet, then, we're off to yippee-ki-yay with Roy Rogers. This is Jack McKenna wishing you a very good night.
You have been listening to Radio Superior 1943, a weekly production presented by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Farrig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Foreign correspondent Daryl Berrigan is played by Paul Guggenheimer. Other performances by Don Mason. All events reported on Radio Superior 1943 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week at this time for more Radio Superior 1943. This is your announcer, Tony Jasmine, speaking. Good night.